We're doing the Jewish home, and our topic tonight is the many languages of love do not understand one another. The many languages of love do not understand one another. And I'll give you an example. You're about to leave the house, and your wife says, take a sweater. So one guy might say, that's so nice, she thought I need a sweater. Another guy might say, I'm not a baby. So we have different languages when it comes to expressing our affection to one another, and we express things differently, we hear things differently. So let's take an example. Your wife asks you, what should I make for dinner tonight? And your answer is, I don't know. So your wife says, what would you like for dinner tonight? And your answer is, whatever there is fine by me. She's asking, I want to love you. You're answering, leave me alone. Me be hungry, me want food. You make it, I say thank you. What do you want from me, right? So she's trying to speak a certain language to us, and our answer is, leave me alone. Wife says, what dress do you want me to wear tonight? And you go, I don't know.
Come on.
She says, what do you want me to wear for Shabbos? And you go, you look great in everything. Because she's always asking you as you're running out the shul and it's late and you don't exactly have a head for it. Which earrings do you like? All of them. What's she asking you? She's asking, I want to make you happy. What are you answering her? I don't have patience for this. Leave me alone. You call home and your wife says, the principal called. And you're thinking, what do you want me to do now? So the answer is she wants you to be a man. See, be a man means take responsibility and do something. When your wife calls you with problems, very often we don't have patience. So her problem might be, what should I make for dinner? What should I wear tonight? And this is where she wants you to be a man and step up to the plate and think it through with her and help her reach a conclusion. This is where we don't want to be a man. Suddenly we're a woman. I don't know. They're all nice. You look great in everything. That's not what she wants to hear. She wants you to be decisive. The point is, you don't relate to this. This is exactly why you need to hear this, because you don't relate to it. And then comes the flip side. How does man want to express his affection to his wife? So we'll give a few examples. You stay up for 2 hours doing the dishes. You finish doing the dishes, your wife, you leave a note, tell her, you know, I did this filled with love. She leaves you a note. You forgot to do the dishes that were on the table. You forgot to clean out the drain. You look at that and you go, I can never make her happy. You wash the floor, and she says, you forgot to do behind the door. What do you feel like? Can never make her happy. Women don't hear our language of love. They don't. We don't hear their language. We have to learn to express it. It doesn't hurt to sit down and say, I want to explain to you something. When I wash the floor, I mean to do a good job. I really don't notice that I should move the table to clean around the legs of the table. I really don't notice I should close the door to clean behind the door. I really have good intentions, and it's my expression of positive feeling. I do. I mean that. Most women will be very frustrated and tell you numerous times after the first few times you try, please don't do it. You don't do a good job anyways. I have to do it all over again. Most men reach a point where they say, forget it. I did. I tried. She didn't like it. I keep trying. She keeps not liking it. Leave me alone, okay? So I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not sure they got to a good place by doing that. So our language, the way we express our affection, is different. And as such, we don't always meet. Let's take a few more examples. You're on your way out of the house. You have a bus in a minute. And your wife says, one more question. What do you do? So the first thing you should do is smile. realize that there will always be one more question. Always, the pasuk says, "Ve'elishech teshukatech." You will desire your husband. The Gemara says, the minute he's about to leave the house, a woman suddenly feels an urge. Don't leave me. Wait, I'll be back in 2 hours. I'll be back in an hour. I'm going for shachris. But there's this feeling by her, don't leave me. How do you placate that feeling? So before you go, you factor in, I have to leave 5 minutes earlier. And then you prepare, if it's a time of the month where you're permitted. So you give her a hug, you give her a kiss, you show your affection, and then when you're ready to leave the door, she'll still need one more minute. Factor that in too. It's not like because you did that, when you're ready to leave, she'll say goodbye, you can go. And if it's the time of the month where you're not permitted, so you talk to her. Hey, I'm going to miss you. Is everything okay? Have a great day. And as you're by the door, try to peek back in and say, I miss you already. I wanted to say goodbye. Show her that you also miss her. Deep down inside, you might be dying to get to that bus on time, but that's not what she needs to hear. When we want to show affection, we have to talk her language. During the day, if you can talk, talk. If you can't talk, send an SMS, send an email. I'm thinking of you. Leave her surprises, notes. They mean a lot to her. So we talk different languages. We don't hear their language. They don't hear our language. We really talk different languages. We have to learn their language. Another example of their language. The wrapping paper on the gift is not less important than the gift. It's a female language. Get a nice ribbon. It's important to her. Put a nice card. It's important to her. You don't have time before Shabbos to buy her flowers. So on your bus ride home, take a nice piece of paper and in the shape of a flower, write her a few sentences about how happy you are that she's your wife. It's simple. It's easy. You gave her a flower, right? I couldn't get you flowers, so I got you something else. There's no excuse not to bring home flowers for Shabbos. If you can't afford the ones they sell in the store, write one out on a piece of paper. You're not an artist. She'll forgive you. But write it. And again, it's not worth less, it's worth more. The note to a woman is worth more than the flower. So we don't talk the same language. And this can get us into trouble, but they need to hear their language. So you're going to be married all of a day, and your wife is going to try on her head covering. And she's going to ask you how it looks. You want her to be comfortable with head coverings, you better say it looks nice. Period. It looks nice. You look great. Period. No questions. No comments. Maybe this, that, the other thing. This doesn't exactly match. You want her to be comfortable with her head covering? Tell her she looks great. She has to hear that. Every woman wants to hear that she's good looking. Every man wants to hear that they're good looking. That means you have to tell that to one another. When your wife asks you, have I gained weight? The answer is, I wouldn't know. When your wife says, when we got married, I was a size, I don't know what. And now I'm a size, I don't know women's sizes, forgive me. But when we got married, I was this weight, and now I'm that weight. Tell her she looks better that way. But maybe you think she should lose a few pounds. You'll find the way to say it, and you'll still hurt her feelings. You might discuss her health. You might discuss other things. Maybe we should exercise together. Maybe we should go for walks together. Maybe we should think through what foods we want to bring into the house. If you do an exercise program, and most of the time, most people don't succeed in losing weight anyways. So if you're making an issue of it, you're just making an issue in the house. So yes, everyone wants to hear they're good looking. Everyone wants to hear they were missed. I'm going to end with one point. Will you always love your wife? The answer is no. There are moments when that's not the emotion that you feel. There are moments where you will be upset. There are moments where you'll be frustrated. There are moments where you'll be disappointed. So we say in Tefillah, we say just before Shema, we say, Ava Rabbah, the Ashkenazim say in the morning. Ava Rabbah Avtanu Hashem Elokeinu. And at night we say, Avat Olam. The Talmud brings different versions as to how we should say, and that's how Ashkenazim have the custom, that the conclusion of the Talmud is that by day we say Ahava Rabba, by night we say Ahavat Olam. Explains the Gra. There are two levels of Ahava, two levels of love. There is an eternal love, Ahavat Olam. So at night time, where we say all our prayer at night reflects darkness reflects time where things aren't obvious, they're not radiating, the Jews are in exile, it's hard to see Hashem's love for us. So at nighttime we speak about the eternal love. There's an eternal connection between Hashem and us, us and Hashem. Avat olam avtanu Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, you love us in eternal love. We might not exactly see that love right now, but there's a baseline. That's avat olam. Then there is Ahava Rabba. There are times where one feels a great excitement about being connected. Ahava Rabba, that's in the morning, the sun is shining, everything's great. In marriage, we have both. A person should never say something that can be understood to mean that there's no Ahavat Olam. It doesn't matter what happened. There should always be a baseline of we're together and there's an eternal connection between us. People make this mistake. They think they can threaten with their love. They think they can use their affection and their closeness as a bargaining chip. It's a mistake. You only lose by it. You don't gain by it. It might take years, but you lose by it. It is one of the sure ways to destroy a relationship, because no one will put up with the affection of the relationship being a bargaining chip. It'll take time. You might not get it back that moment, but I've seen marriages destroyed on this point. And even if they're not destroyed, the other side will find points where they will not budge. And they won't tell you why, but the real reason is because that was used as a bargaining chip.
What does that mean? An example.
If a wife says, if you loved me, you would buy me that Porsche. The husband might kill himself and buy her that Porsche, but he will make sure to channel, and I'm not saying he's right, but what will happen is he will channel his assets in a way that in the future she won't know there's even a capacity of buying a Porsche. He will make sure. I'm giving you an example. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying there's a certain natural instinct that when a person feels like they were manipulated with the love of their relationship, their response is not a positive one. A husband once wrote his wife a letter which said, after what she did, he can't imagine how they could continue together. Okay, he said a sentence. 3 years later, she demanded divorce. It took 3 or 4 years, but and then he couldn't rebuild the relationship. He was the one who opened the Pandora's box. He was the one who said, I don't know if we can continue together. He found himself divorced at an old age, with grandchildren already. He couldn't rebuild the marriage. There are things that should never be questioned. There are things that you should never say that there's a question. More examples? More examples. It is very tempting. Okay, I'll give you a few more examples. Example number one. There was a couple that was always fighting. And whenever they were fighting, the husband would tell her, I'm going to divorce you. And it reached a point where one day they were fighting and he said, I'm going to divorce you, I've had it. And she said, okay. And she packed her bags and left. And suddenly he found himself all alone. He couldn't rebuild it. Spent 2 or 3 years begging her to come back, and there's nothing he can do. Example number three. I'll tell you an example, a mistake I made with my daughter. So my daughter was little, like 2.5, 3, and she was getting a lot of attention and always kvetching that she wasn't getting enough. So one day I gave her a piggyback ride, and then I gave her brother a piggyback ride. And then she said, why'd you give him and not me? So I thought it was so ridiculous what she said, because I had just given her. So she said, why'd you give him a piggyback ride to the bed? And I give her a piggyback ride and not the bed. So She got a longer piggyback ride. He got a shorter piggyback ride. But so she says to me, why'd you give him a piggyback ride to bed and not me? And I said, I shouldn't have said it. It was a big mistake. I said to her, because I love him and not you. So I thought it was ridiculous that she was saying it. So I meant it like sarcastically. Her face turned white. It was like the look she gave me was like, that's what I was scared of. She sat there stunned, looking at me like I had just destroyed her life. Like, I realized that sarcasm doesn't work with a three-year-old, right? So it took me about a half hour to calm her down and hug her and sit with her and tell her, you know, I wasn't serious, right? But the look on her face, I said, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have said that, right? Yeah. She it scared the wits out of her. Like, what? So there are things you should never say, right? Should never say that. She's a three-year-old or a two-and-a-half-year-old, but however old she was then. I'm saying there are things we shouldn't say. So Avat Olam is the concept that there should be an eternal baseline that we're always together, we're always there for one another. It is one of the most basic things, maybe the most basic thing that we all want in a relationship. And even though what we discussed tonight is that we're not speaking the same language in expressing our affection to one another, it takes a lot of time to really understand how our spouse cares for us. Very often, men walk around with the feeling, my wife doesn't love me. Women walk around with the feeling, my spouse doesn't love me. Don't be so quick to think you're right. We're talking different languages. Most of the time, it's not that one doesn't love the other, it's that we haven't learned how to express ourselves in the way that our spouse hears it. And you'd be surprised. This can go on for decades. It's unreal how long people can be with one another and not realize that they're not talking the same language. There was a couple who, I don't know if they're in their 60s or 70s, I was visiting their house and they asked me something about a class I gave. So I said to them, Binyan HaBayit is something that everyone needs. No one really understands one another. So the husband goes, really? Now they're married maybe half a century already. I mean, what?
What'd you say?
The husband asked me, you really think that couples don't understand one another? So I said, I'll give you an example. Your wife says the garbage is full. And you go, yep, and move on with life. Nope. So he goes, yeah. So I said, now if we'd ask your wife, she'll say, I just asked him to take out the garbage. And he ignored me. So his wife looks at me and goes, right. And he looks at me and goes, what? I said, from your end, she just made a statement. The garbage is full. What you heard is, whoever's going to be going out first should try and remember to take out the garbage. She didn't ask me. She was commenting, the garbage is full. If she wanted me to take out the garbage, she would have said, Larry, could you take out the garbage, right? His name is not Larry. But you didn't hear that, right? He goes, of course I didn't hear that. That's not what she said. I said, you see, you're married half a century and you still don't hear her. So they both laughed and they both agreed. They don't. We're not talking the same language. We're not. But you have to realize that it also applies to the most intimate things. People think their spouse doesn't love them and they don't realize that we're just not communicating on the same language. I wanted to make a game, but you could do this in your own relationship. Ask your spouse to write down, why don't you write down, your spouse writes down, what are the 10 things you did today to show your affection to your spouse? You agree, on Matzah Shabbos, Sunday night, we're going to do this. What are the 10 things I did? And you will see that the 10 things she writes on her list, from your perspective, are, you didn't hear them. You tell your wife, I did the dishes for you. And she goes, really? You don't eat from those dishes? You did them for me? What does that mean you did them for me? And when I do the dishes for you? Do you feel like I show you my affection because I did the dishes? So a husband feels like he's showing affection when he does the dishes. A wife feels like she's showing affection when she makes food. A husband feels like if he fills the car with gas, he's showing affection. A husband feels like if I did bedtime, I'm showing you my affection. If I change the kid's diaper, I'm showing you my affection. The wife goes, really? And every time I do the diapers, I'm also showing you my affection? Do you feel that way? So if we would actually write down what we see in the relationship as showing affection, we will suddenly realize that we're not talking the same language. A husband can spend his day earning a living so that the family has what to live off of. And he'll feel like, I did a lot for you. Ask the wife if she feels that. Most women will say no. The wife will spend all day dealing with the kids. Ask the husband, do you feel like your wife shows you love if she's dealing with the kids? No, that's her job. Ah, so you're doing your job. So no one's showing any affection, right? Maybe and maybe not. And we're not open to this. We're talking different languages. So I would suggest, make a list of 10 things of how you think you're showing affection after you're married. Make a list of 10 things that you would want your wife to do to show her affection. And she makes the same list. Now compare. You'll be very surprised. You'll be very surprised if you actually write down what you would want. To your mind, what constitutes showing affection? Think about it. What do you want as an expression of love from your spouse? Can you even fill up a list of 10 things? I'm not sure you could. Most men could write 3. Maybe less. But it's important because we're not talking the same language. What's very important is we shouldn't assume that our spouse doesn't love us because of specific things. It could be we're not understanding one another. We probably are not understanding one another. And this is where it helps to sit down and actually try to understand. What do you want to hear? What do you want me to do? What would make you happy? And these conversations should take place when things are positive. Usually they take place when things have exploded and they're taking a downhill turn and both sides are tense and don't want to open up. But if you take the positive and say, let's understand one another, you might find out that there's a lot that we don't understand about one another. One of the first things you have to do is tell yourself, let me be open. She will not talk my language. If your wife says, I want you to accept me and understand me, you have to ask her, what do you mean? And she won't exactly spell it out to you, but what she means is that when she goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on introducing the topic that she wants to talk to you about, you should listen. That's not human nature. I really have to tell you something. There was something very special that happened today. It was extraordinary. Can you sit down for a minute? It was unbelievable. You know, I was on my way, and it was raining, and the wipers weren't working so well, so they were streaking along the window, and I tried to figure out how I could see with all that. The car in front of me kept stopping and going and stopping and going, and you know, our brakes aren't working so great. So I wanted to figure out, as the wipers were going, whether my lights were on or not. I was on my way, you know, in that intersection where there's a lot of traffic always, right? Where 306 meets Route 59, and I was driving down there, and this car in front of me keeps stopping on going, and I had to factor that I have to spend a little bit more space, give myself space before. But you know, if you give too much space, another car's come in, and then you didn't gain anything. So I had to keep enough space that I could stop and just... But 1 second. Now, as I was driving, I couldn't figure out if Shmuley in the back had fallen asleep or he was making trouble if he was trying to get out of his car seat. Now, I have to focus on the front and at the same time look at the back. It was getting a little foggy in the car and my rear view mirror was getting fogged up. So that was a little bit troublesome. Now, I tried to figure out with the switch how to turn on the heat or off the heat. Anyways, I crossed the intersection and when I got to the store, it was hard to find the parking. You know, that guy kept in front of me the whole way. He kept stopping and going and stopping and going. And finally, I found a parking spot, but it was really far from the store. You know how on those rainy days you ask yourself, did everyone...
Why? Why can't they just get to the point?
Why, we will discuss in a different class. But my point is, when she says she needs certain things, she's saying, I need you to be able to talk my language. We began tonight by saying, love takes on different languages, and they're not the same language. We don't understand one another. That means her needs in this are way different than our needs. Why they are such, we will discuss at a later date. But the fact that they are such is something we have to accept. We are very different. Her needs are very different than our needs. And if we want to be able to build, if we want to be able to express affection, just like we want her to do it on our terms, and they look weird to her, believe me. They look weird to her.
Man. Much easier than to please a woman.
Really?
For sure.
Okay. I'm scared because we might have female listeners.
So aside from that, I'm just saying the emotional side. Make me like, it's so simple.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. It's not easy living with this creature that doesn't like to walk to the hamper in the evening and put their clothing in the hamper, or can use the floss and drop it on the floor, can be sitting on the computer working, eat an apple, put it half eaten and think I'll get back to it, starts 50 projects and keeps thinking he'll get back to them and doesn't do them. You'd need his help for something simple like changing a light bulb, and he thinks it's a Herculean task, like it's a big deal, like maybe go hire someone to do it. If the paint is chipping and every time you take a shower there's paint falling on you, he thinks that it's not his job to take care of it. Well, who does he want to take care of it? What does he want should happen? And if there's mold growing around the house, he doesn't think he has to get to it until he'll get to it. So if I ask him, I'm nagging. And if I don't ask him, then it just keeps growing. Not easy living with this creature that can drink a beer and then behave like an animal. Guys. Yeah, we're really weird guys. And he thinks it's perfectly all right for him to make animalistic noises in the house. And I'm supposed to be accepting of that. They call it a burp. They call it being a man. Women call it being an animal. It's not easy living with this guy who sits for dinner and makes noises but doesn't talk. It's not easy living with this creature that what makes him happy is like going to the peanut gallery in a zoo and, you know, feed the monkeys and they're happy, right? Feed the man and he's happy, right? Maybe I want real communication with the man. And when you try communicating to him and hinting to him, he really doesn't understand. He expects the woman to be pristine and perfumed and nice, but he could show up at home sweaty and unshaven and disheveled, and she's supposed to admire him and look up to him. And of course, every little thing he does, she has to tell him, "You are amazing," when she's really thinking, "You should have done 10 times that." Not so simple. Not so simple. And everything about man is ego, and he is so sensitive, this frail creature. He thinks he's masculine, but if you say one thing that's not exactly complimentary to his ego, so that's it. He's. I'm describing every man you know.
I was in a 2-year relationship and I was easily pleased.
Man always thinks he's easily pleased. That's true. Ask a woman what it's like living with a man. The fact that man thinks he's easy, yeah, okay.
And she'd agree that I pleased her as well.
Okay.